SMQB's episode 187. Hope, who are you bringing to the bar this week?
Well, since football season's over, we're moving on to basketball.
You must be from Dallas.
And the season's over.
And I'm bringing Mark Cuban to the bar for the first time in a while. Just want to find out what his thoughts are on the year. Find out how it is working with Miriam Adelson, who's quite the opposite from him, let's say. And just actually talk to him about his new role from a political standpoint. It's been interesting watching him. So,
what is his role with the team?
He's still a minority. He's got a big share, but it's a minority share.
Is he considered the face of the team still?
He's not the face of the team, because when they went to the playoffs, you saw Adelson's son or son-in-law. Who was up there, that big fat guy who was getting all the awards.
Okay. All right, House, who are you bringing?
Well, shockwaves this morning, thankfully, as my Manchester United's manager was sacked.
Yeah.
Which is like, in the world of football with a F-U-T-B-O-L, it's like, I won't call them the Cowboys, but maybe more like the Yankees. The Manchester United. So I am taking to the bar the following three individuals: Erik ten Hag, goodbye. It's nice knowing you. Stay at the bar, never come back. Ruud van Nistelrooy, their interim manager, and the hottest commodity in Europe, this guy named Ruben Amorim from Portugal, who's rumored to be their new manager. Ruben Amorim, all the drinks you want, buddy. Come on board. Let's make it happen.
Wow. All right, Milk, what about you?
I am taking, the Nashville Predators play at the Tampa Bay Lightning tonight. And if you follow hockey, you know that means that Steven Stamkos is making his return to Tampa for the first time since things ended sort of not so well, but we wouldn't pay him the money that he wanted. And I think it was a good call, but he did mean a lot to Tampa. It should be an emotional night. They're planning a big tribute to him after the first.
You're not.
Milk has a different kind of tribute.
They keep saying there won't be a dry eye in the house. I'm like, there'll be a dry eye in my house. So anyways, but he did do a lot. He put the Lightning on the map. And I guess I owe him a drink for everything negative I've said about him over the last 10 years.
You should buy that guy a glass of Pappy. That's how much you owe him.
That's right.
Well, I've got two people I'm bringing. They're probably going to want some sort of whiskey. One, Chicago Bear Jalen Johnson, who had no problem saying that he didn't care who played quarterback. He was just looking forward to whooping their ass this weekend.
I missed that.
Keep that shit to yourself, Jalen. And of course, Tyreek Stevenson, who not only he got a 15-yard penalty at some point during the game for jawing up and talking some smack, but not only did he then stand there talking shit to the Commanders fans before the Hail Mary that everybody knows about now, then he got into the play late, and actually, not only did he not cover the guy who he's supposed to, but then he's the guy who tipped the ball up at the end. So, man, he's going to need.
Well, he was distracted.
Has he been released yet? Or what's happening?
No, he gave an apology.
He did give an apology real fast.
My favorite part of that, honestly, is when he realizes the play is actually started.
Yes, when the receivers are about 20 yards from the end zone.
He's like, oh, God.
Well, I guess we got to get into NFL Week 8. I don't know. There's probably no better place to start than in Washington. It was the game was flexed. They had number one versus number two draft pick, the last two Heisman Trophy winners. It was, of course, we're talking about the Commanders versus the Bears, and Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels. I mean, it's like weird because it lived up to the hype, but it didn't really. Like, it wasn't a very crisp game. Although I don't know what more you could ask for as far as an ending goes. The last 3.5 minutes of the game, really the last 6 minutes of the game, were pretty wild. I don't know. I have a hot take on
that. That goal line stand was amazing.
Well, I mean, it was and it wasn't. Like, it helps when your idiot coach tries to hand the ball off to a 400-pound, you know, tackle. I mean, I don't even know what to say about that. What did you guys think? I have a take.
You that thought I thought he was Dan Campbell, like,
but yeah.
Can I do my best impression of one Christopher Tinace?
Go ahead. This is going to come up later. I know where you're going.
So, Bison, are you a little concerned that you couldn't score a red zone touchdown? Are you a little concerned that most of your scoring absent a miracle of all miracles were a bunch of field goals? Are you a little concerned that the next one, Jaden Daniels, can't get your team into the end zone? Are you a little concerned that against this Bears team, the more creative, the more make stuff happen was Caleb Williams? Are you a little concerned that were it not for Terry McLaurin bailing out Jaden Daniels with unbelievable catches? I mean, he's got incredible hands. He's really has kind of a bad day, and you lose that game. Like, are you concerned?
The answer is no.
It's deflating, by the way.
And let me.
I'm concerned for you.
Let me tell you why the answer is. I've lived with this
for so long.
Let me tell you why the answer is no. First of all, Daniels didn't take any reps all week. He was a sure thing game time decision. He did not practice all week. He's a rookie. Considering how well, I mean, like that he didn't have any practice time with the first team and still was able to play, I don't know. Second, the Bears are good defense. And they racked up like 400 yards of offense. They did have problems scoring. They also had two touchdowns called back. Well, one called back that I still don't know who was downfield illegally. And that Ertz one was a catch. I don't know. If that's not a catch, like where you catch the ball 2 feet down, hit the ground, your hand is under the ball, and then some guy pops it out while you're laying there. If that's not a catch, then wait for the scrums, because every time somebody goes to the ground, they should just jump on top of them and try and knock the ball out. So there were two touchdowns that should have gone in. Yeah, it was sloppy. It looked like he hadn't practiced. I thought the whole offense was the worst offensive game they played. But here's my hot take that I can tell you're going to disagree with. To me, Jaden Daniels is miles beyond Caleb Williams. Caleb has wonderful escapability. He is going to be a phenom. He's probably going to be an MVP. I bet he wins a Super Bowl. He's unbelievable. He played. I didn't think he was very good.
Oh my gosh.
He had about 6 minutes of scrambling around and making some good plays to get them down on the final touchdown. But he was 10 for 24, 131 yards. He took two sacks for 20 yards, one of which took them out of field goal range and was really a bad rookie play. He had a 36.1 QBR. And then Daniels, by comparison, was 21 of 38, 326 yards, a touchdown, took two sacks also, but for 13 yards, and had a 71.0 QBR, double what Caleb had. I don't think
either those are good.
I don't think you can. Well, no, 71 is good. A QBR is that's the one. Isn't that the one that's 0 to 100? I think so.
Who does Caleb have? Keenan Allen?
Well, no. I mean, Keenan Allen and
more.
DJ Moore or whatever,
and Adunze. He has no line. I just thought that last drive when he was down, whatever the score was, 12-7 or whatever, and they had to come back. He came in from the sidelines with a swagger and a confidence, and he was searching to bring the team. Like I was like, whoa.
Kind of Mahomes, A little Mahomey like.
Yes, absolutely, Pope. I was like,
whoa. Yeah, but if you're going to say that, then I mean, put aside the Hail Mary. I mean, Jaden came in with 25 seconds left, immediately completed two passes that he needed to complete to get them from the 20-yard line. True. And, you know, completed two big passes with left time on the clock and then executed the Hail Mary play really, you know, exactly as you have to give yourself a chance. I don't know. I just thought, look, that last drive was, I mean, that guy, you know what Caleb does? It. I don't know how he gets away with it. He gets the ball, releases the ball when he is like sacked. Somehow he gets the ball off and it's just an incomplete pass and doesn't take a sack or grounding. I couldn't understand how, like, I've never seen a quarterback who was so clearly done who could get rid of the ball. He's impressive, but I think he's not as NFL ready as Daniels is.
Let's skip ahead. Do either of these teams or both make the playoffs?
Well,
Commanders will.
Commanders will.
Unless something happens.
Yeah. I mean, Bears. Obviously, the Bears' problem is their division. I mean, and that's the benefit to the Commanders.
Commanders have a much tougher schedule ahead.
Bears' schedule's brutal.
Yeah, that's true. I mean,
they haven't played the Lions or the Packers yet. They got to play them twice. They still have. I mean, yeah.
We still have schedule. Three games. We have three against the Cowboys and Giants, and then we play the Saints. I don't know who else we have. Steelers at home.
You've got a team in Philly.
Yeah, well, we got two against Philly. Twice. I think that's the measuring stick.
I mean, you're 6-2. You would have to really
also have to play the Steelers too. By the way,
I just said the Steelers at home.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
And then the Titans. Yeah. I mean. Those are I think our four home games left are Steelers, Cowboys, Titans, Eagles. Those are our four. And then we play the Falcons. So, you know.
Yeah, you guys are on your way to 11-6.
Yeah, that's right. And
get you then.
And the problem, the Cowboys are a good team. I'm sorry, the Bears. Yeah. The Bears are a good team.
Sorry, what was that?
Excuse me. Obviously, he slipped. Yeah,
the Cowboys are
slipped there.
The Cowboys
not even a Freudian slip.
Those words would never come out of your mouth.
I know. I wouldn't even say it when it's true. They could be up 55-0 in the Super Bowl. I'm not going to admit it. Anyway, I don't know.
All right,
there's a lot of good games yesterday.
Yeah, let's talk about a couple other games. I think we actually should go back to Thursday. With a little bit of a shocking outcome to me. I don't know about you guys, but the Rams spanked the Vikings. It wasn't just like there was a play at the end of that game. I don't think it really would have mattered. I don't know if you guys saw it. It was one of the more egregious face masks I've ever seen. They were down 28-20. They got the ball back. They had a minute and a half. They'd have to go the whole field. They'd have to score a touchdown, and they'd have to get a two-point conversion. And the Rams ripped Darnold's face off and in the end zone and sacked him. And rather than call the face mask penalty and bring the Vikings out to the 25 or 30, they called it a safety and no penalty. That's how that game ended. But overall, I thought the Rams dominated. Were you guys surprised by that outcome? Because I was shocked.
Yes. Definitely surprised.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, the Rams really arrived.
The Rams have been up and down all year. I mean, they're a weird team.
But I'm telling you right now, I hate these Thursday night games. I've been saying it all year. The road team is at a disadvantage. I'm not saying that's why they lost.
Don't give Bison that for November 14th. Don't feed him that.
Oh,
I'm just saying.
I think there is a Thursday road game in my
short
future here,
week so. On the road. It's not fair. I hate them.
Fellas, the New England Patriots and Cleveland Browns each won a game yesterday, and while we wouldn't normally follow them on the pod, like, come on, like,
what,
really,
who
Ravens
parlay. Who had that parlay?
It's worth a lot. Really, Ravens? I mean, Mil, we know you love. We know you love Jameis, so maybe you should cover this.
Well, I mean, Jameis threw the interception. They dropped. Game over.
This absolutely sums up Jameis Winston to a T. I mean, I'm telling you right now. You look him up in the NFL dictionary. This game shows up. It is exactly what he does. He had an unbelievable game. He won all this shit. I guarantee you, next week he throws four interceptions. Just book it, four interceptions, and they lose. That was just so Jameis.
To me, what stood out was three teams this week that really said kind of, all right, we're gelling, we're gelling and look out. I think the Bills are smoothing it out. They absolutely dominated at Seattle, like really dominated. They're playing extremely well. I know the Titans stink, but the Lions, I thought there would be a little drop off with Hutchinson out, but they're just ridiculous.
They put up, they hung half a hundred.
They're my number
one. I mean,
they
are, yeah.
And I was shocked after an ugly, ugly start and 10-3 through most of the second quarter. The Eagles tied it up at half and just dominated the second half. Jalen looked fantastic. Saquon looked fantastic. Devontae Smith looked fantastic. AJ Brown looked fantastic. And the defense really showed up too. Joe Burrow is very good. Yes, they were missing T. Higgins, but the Eagles too. So the NFL is starting to shape up into some, we see this every year. We get close to halfway and we start to get the cream rising to the crop and separating. I think we're starting to see it. There are not as many enigmas. I think the Bucs were one to watch, and they've gotten, I know it's next man up, but when you lose two essentially Pro Bowl receivers and essentially you're throwing to Cade Otton and Scotty Miller, like what are you going to do?
It wasn't Scotty Miller, by the way.
Whatever.
There was another Miller.
I don't know, Milk.
Actually, our defense sucks.
I kind of feel bad for you, but not really.
I mean, I think the Falcons and the Bucks are just going to go back and forth in mediocrity. One of the teams will come out just like
Falcons are way ahead, dude. They're totally
they haven't proven anything yet.
No, I feel bad for
Baker. Do we have proof of life that Tua is still alive today?
He's alive.
He slid.
He is still with us.
Okay, we're gonna check in on that.
Keep track
as the season goes on. Here, we'll keep track.
Is that gonna be a featured segment now on the pod going forward?
Well, I think it might have to be because
alive or dead, Tua.
Please, Tua, retire. Please, retire.
You know, this speaks volumes, guys. The fact that we've gone through our NFL wrap up and haven't even mentioned what would normally be considered the feature game of the day, which was Cowboys at 49ers. Doesn't it just speak volumes?
It does.
Is there anything to talk about?
You know what the volumes it speaks is? Why do we continue to talk about the Cowboys at all? They are garbage. They're garbage.
Historically a great matchup.
Historically. Like, in 1995, that was the game to go to.
It's funny you say that because it was the same bullshit with Yankees Dodgers. They did a whole segment on the catch, the whole like thing. This is not your grandfather's 49ers.
I mean the dinosaurs had a good run too, right? I mean they were pretty dominant for one period of time.
Are you saying Jerry's like an asteroid?
Yeah. I mean, the Cowboys were again getting carved up. God. This is now by like their fourth or fifth string running back on the Niners.
They have the worst running game and the worst running defense. That's all you need to know.
It's embarrassing the way they give up running yards. I mean, really.
Just massive chunks. I mean, again, they have injuries, but you know, you have to stop the run at some point with somebody.
Yeah. We might beat you guys this year. I don't know if we're gonna run the ball.
And then the Cowboys they're probably looking at 5-12 or 6-11.
Maybe slightly better because I don't know what their schedule's like, but I know they have a really tough one. But I just think that Dak, I mean, I think he's up to 8 or 9 interceptions this year. I think it's as many as had last year.
It's not 3 multi-game interceptions. First time since Aikman in 92.
$200+ million, and the guy throws the most inopportune picks in the league. It's a real, real problem.
Two questions. Well, one question and then an observation. What do we make of the Packers winning by 3 over Jacksonville?
It screwed me over because it was 3.5. That's what I think
other than that.
Jordan Love had to leave. Seems like he's fine. I think that team runs on Jordan Love. Like if he's healthy and he's playing well, the Packers are dangerous. I still think they've got a lot of defensive liabilities, but offensively they're a juggernaut when he's in the game. Their receivers are great. Their running back's very good. Packers are still going to make some noise, but I, you know, we do this every week just because it's gotten so boring, but we're just going to skip over the single undefeated team, the Chiefs.
I know.
Patrick Mahomes, the fastest
Boring win.
I mean, we can talk about NFL every week. We'll do it, but everything goes through KC. And if Mahomes shows up and does what he does in the playoffs, it's just, we're just living in their world.
Yep. Yep. Hey, how is it that this week there were no buys? Isn't that a quirk of the schedule?
You're right. I never picked up on that.
No wonder no one on my fantasy team was on a bye.
Yeah. Isn't that weird? I don't know. I think there's buys the rest of the way out until they stop. I think week 14 or 15 is the last bye week.
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyway, I don't know. That was a little quirk.
Can we talk about because I don't know if we're talking about it enough, because I think this could be one of like historical underperformances with the Jets.
You're right.
I mean, they're 2-6 now, correct?
Yep.
Yeah.
2-6, won two games. They fired their coach. What did they trade to get Devontae?
I think a third round or something.
Yeah,
third round pick.
Here's what you need to know about the Jets.
I know it's the Jets, guys, but
we were driving to the game. I took my mother to the game yesterday, and we're driving out there. And I said, or I guess it was right at the end of the game, we're sitting at the Commanders game, and I said, "Oh, the Jets lost again." And she looks at me and goes, "That guy Rodgers should just quit. He's really old." I mean, that's it. That's all. I mean, why do we care about the Jets? Why do we think they were going to be good?
Aaron Rodgers, yeah. Breece Hall, Garrett Wilson, Devontae Adams, and this team stinks.
That's amazing. That's incredible.
Yeah,
they should be scoring 30 points a game.
I don't know. I mean, it all comes down to Rodgers, and he's coming off an Achilles injury.
They used to.
I want to see Rodgers. I don't really want to see him get hurt, but if he got hurt and they brought in a reasonable sub, I'd love to see that team start winning, because they would.
Wow.
It's bad. It is
all
bad.
Right, guys. We gotta get to our
Plaxico
and our parlay. So where are we?
We're coming back. We're coming back a little bit into typical SMQB form. We're going to need Rooster and the Steelers -6.5 this week to avoid going a 1-4. The winner this week taking another big spread 2 weeks in a row. Mr. Pope takes big spreads 2 weeks in a row. Mr. Pope wins. He took the Commanders 7.5 over the Panthers. 2 weeks ago, took the Broncos 7.5 over the Panthers. 1 again this week. So Pope now moves to 5-3. But we had a Vikings -3 over the Rams, lost to Milk. We had Packers -4.5 over Jacksonville, lost to Bison. We had House Smoking Crack taking the Buccaneers, who suck, -2.5 versus the Falcons.
That was before Monday night.
Is that your first loss?
That's my second. So yeah. I'm 6-2. Bison is 4-4. Milk is 4-4. Pope is 5-3. And Rooster is 5-2 pending tonight's results. We have this week's selection from Rooster. We're going to let him go first. He has taken the Houston Texans, who next week will be.
Everybody wants that one.
Yeah.
The Jets are -1 against the Texans. So he's got the Texans +1 on Thursday night. Who else is ready to go?
I'll go.
Okay.
I'm going to keep with the theme of big spread against the Panthers and take the Saints.
Ooh, that is a disgusting game.
On the road at Carolina, giving 7.
Wow.
I'm going to take the Saints. The Panthers are historically bad.
God, that is a bad game.
Milk, what you got?
You know what? I was going to take the Texans too, but that would mean I would be taking the road team on a Thursday night, which I swore I would never do.
You can't take them anyway.
Last week. So because I'm going to be in Kansas City, I will take the Bucs. +8.5.
Wow. And, I find this shocking.
Road trip.
Only because I'm there. But I would recommend to each of you to consider taking the Chiefs.
This fight, the Falcons will cover. All right, Bison.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Eagles. Given 7.5. It is, but you know what? They're going to, I think the Eagles are, I think they're peaking.
Or gelling. They're gelling as house sitter.
At least on the upswing. Yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of interesting games this week, but I'm going to throw it right back in Bison's lap. And I'm going to go with the Commanders -3.5 on the road at the Giants. Come on, it's the Giants. If the Commanders can't cover 3.5 at the Giants, we can stop all of the parade.
Wow.
I considered the Commanders as well. I like that bet.
All right.
Division games are tough.
Our parlay last week, we were close, and I have to tell you, the team that blew it is not the one that I thought was going to blow it.
I thought we won that bet.
Yeah. No. So
did they score late?
The parlay was the Packers. At least what I had was Packers -4.5. If you got it closer to game time, it was 3.5. The Colts +6. The Colts covered. And the under in the Panthers Broncos game, under 43.5. And we covered that too. But it was the Packers who shit the bed for it.
Yeah.
So that we lost that one. Here is this week's. All right.
All right, hold on. Hold on. Let me get my app up. All right.
All right. We've got the Texans at the Jets. We're taking, which is the Texans are getting a point, but we're going to take the money line. We're going to take the money line in that game.
Just straight up Texans.
The Texans straight up.
Texans money line.
Okay.
Seattle.
This game.
Seattle -1.
You're taking Seattle against the Rams?
Yes. Taking Seattle.
Ew. Okay.
Seattle -1.
And then we're taking the Bucs +9.
God.
And
wait, I've got Seattle +1 on our right?
Well, what I'm looking at, I've got them. I'm looking at BetMGM app. So that's what I'm looking at.
Is that the official app of the Sunday morning quarterback?
Yes.
Yeah. So those odds, those odds get you that 3-game parlay gets you +627. So
should be way more.
Bucks makes you 363. I don't know.
And I'm only getting 8.5.
I'd recommend 20 bucks on this bet, but okay.
You might want to go with 10. You might want to go with 10. You might want to go with 10. But it's fun. So that's okay.
I feel like
all right.
Bet the mortgage.
What was the Texans, the money line?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Worried about that.
Seahawks and Tampa.
Okay.
Seahawks, Tampa, Texans to win.
Yep.
Here we go.
All right. Anything else on the NFL this week?
That's it.
All right. NBA. We got to talk a little hoops. The season's underway, isn't it?
Well, I think we're going to do this with Pope covering the West and I'll cover the East. And I guess since the championship resides in the East, I'll get started.
Fair.
Because I think I'm hard pressed to see a team beating the Celtics, at least in the East. I don't know about the West. I'm very interested to hear Pope's preview because I've focused on the East. But all questions are, can the Celtics repeat overall? Brown and Tatum, they're already dominating. They're winning games by 16, 20 points already in the short early season. They don't even have Porzingis back yet from an off-season surgery. He's probably going to miss about half the season, but he'll be healthy and well-rested. Of course, the challengers this year are the storied Knicks and the remade Knicks. Lots of people questioning why did they remake something that was going so very well, but they traded Julius Randle. They traded Dante DiVincenzo. They got Karl Anthony Towns. They lost Hartenstein to free agency. They picked up Mikal Bridges. And so, you know, this is the new look. This is the Cat Bridges Brunson team supported by, you know, some other Villanova dudes like Josh Hart. I like the Knicks, but I think as we've already covered on this pod a few weeks ago, I don't like Kat. I don't think Rooster likes Kat, our biggest Knicks fan. I think in the end, they're going to have a very, very nice regular season. Cat's going to put up some gaudy numbers. And then I think he's going to be dominated in the playoffs. And I don't like the Knicks as their challenger. I think Milwaukee's got the wrong coach in Doc Rivers. I think he's a joke of a coach. We've seen that before in many places. Giannis is already frustrated and barking after a 1-2 start, saying they don't have an identity as a team. Lillard may be just long in the tooth. So I don't know about Milwaukee. I still think Indiana's missing a piece. Tyrese Halliburton's one of my favorite young players. Pascal Siakam, Miles Turner, great. They've already lost a backup center in James Wiseman. I'm not sure about Indy. The Sixers, well, Paul George is exciting. Rookie Jared McCain is exciting. Tyrese Maxey is just a superstar. But everything is about Embiid and what he can do. He's already announced he's not going to play back-to-backs for the rest of his career. He's already starting the season probably a week or two sitting on the bench.
How can you just announce you're not going to play back-to-backs the rest of your career?
I mean, it's crazy.
Who gets away with that?
It is crazy. So we'll see what Paul George can do. He had a fluke hyperextended knee in a preseason game. I think he'll be fine. And we'll see what he does for this team. Is he the missing piece? I'm not buying it. I think the Sixers do a little bit better this year. I think they might get out of the second round, but I don't see them. I think the team to watch in the East as the challenger for the Celtics is none other than the Orlando Magic. Milk, you should go over there and watch some games. Paolo Banchero is a super stud. Now into his third year, he is a super stud. They have Jalen Suggs, and now they got in the offseason KCP, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. I think he's a difference maker. Franz Wagner is a lethal shooter, already, you know, scoring tons and tons of points in this early season. I think Orlando's got the makeup to make a run here. They lost in game 7 to Cleveland in the playoffs last year. Also runners are going to be Miami and Cleveland. Can't count out Donovan Mitchell, Evan Mobley, and Darius Garland in Cleveland. Can't count out Jimmy Butler if he gets in the playoffs, but my prediction is the Celtics are going to run roughshod over the East, and if anyone makes a run at them, it's most likely to be Orlando as a surprise. That's my East preview.
Wow. Orlando.
Orlando Magic, so I need to get some gear.
Keep an eye on them.
I think it's a great call.
Kids some gear.
Is there a bandwagon website?
Bandwagonpope.com.
One other thing, because this will probably overlap with the West when Pope talks about the basement teams in the West, but just so we can give a shout out to Bison, the Washington Wizards will be joining the basement teams in the East, making the one of the big stories in the NBA this year is who does the tanking to get Cooper Flagg.
Cooper Flagg,
who is really. He's something. He's something coming on board, and everybody's going to want Cooper Flagg. So who's going to be making the play to the basement for Cooper Flagg? All right, Pope, West is yours.
All right. Well, the defending Western champion Dallas Mavericks, who did not obviously play that well in the finals against the Celtics, are, in my opinion, not going to go back to the finals, but I'll get to that in a minute. If you look at the rankings last year as the season ended, you had Oklahoma City and Denver that tied for the best record in the West. Oklahoma City is stout. I've got them going to the finals. But Oklahoma City this year with SGA and Chet Holmgren, Jalen Williams, they're another year under their belt. They're going to be really, really tough. I see them having the best record and being the number one seed in the West. Denver tied them last year. You know, the Joker's back, Murray's healthy, but I don't know. I'm not seeing Denver as, and I know they started off poorly. You know, you can't really read anything into the starts yet, but I don't think Denver is going to be in the top tier of the West this year. Move over. Well, the T-Wolves, they finished third last year. They got Ant and Gobert back for another run, minus, you know, Cat. So I don't know. I mean, I think the T-Wolves are probably still going to be top tier in the West. Then I got Dallas with Luka, Kai, Clay. Thompson is going to be a big help. We saw already some results with that, with him getting wide open. He had 90% of his threes the other day that he made were wide open. So Luka's going to get him some looks. And they're another year under for Derek Lively and then Gafford as well. I mean, Dallas definitely has the potential to make a run. I've actually got them losing to Oklahoma City in the West Finals this year. Phoenix, who took care of Dallas the other night, they're back. I mean, they got, you know, the big three with Durant, Booker, and Beal. They're going to put it out there for another year. I'm not sold on them.
Do they have a new coach?
Phoenix? Yeah, I think so. Couldn't tell you who it is, but I think.
Yeah, I think they have somebody new coming in. So, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, until they actually prove themselves in the playoffs, I've actually got them losing to the Mavericks in the semifinals, the conference semifinals.
They have Budenholzer.
Yeah,
the Bud,
Coach Bud,
right?
And then you've got, you know, the second tier of the playoff teams in the West will be interesting. I think Memphis is going to make a good run to possibly get into that tier. Ja is back. They got Desmond Bane, and they got this Santi Aldama guy who's third year, who's playing really well. You know, if any team can turn it around quickly, you put Ja in there and Memphis can do it. Now, can Ja stay, I guess, within the lines for the next year? We'll see. The Lakers, that are 3-0 right now, are playing a different kind of ball with JJ. And you know, AD looks like he's getting ready to take on the world. I mean, he's averaging 34 points. I mean, obviously he's not going to average 34 for the year, but he's putting his MVP shoes on. So far, and LeBron is, you know, there's no limit on what a 40-year-old could do. I'm not even going to talk about Bronny, but I think the Lakers definitely could get up into the, even though they finished 7 last year, I think they could finish higher this year. You got Nola and Golden State kind of in that lower tier of the playoffs. The team I haven't mentioned yet is the Clippers, and they finished 4th last year, and they are, I think they're going to have a really bad year. I do not see the Clippers. I don't know how old Harden is now, but the beard must be getting gray. I don't see the Clips, even though they have this amazing new arena. I don't see the Clips getting out of the, you know, 7, 8, 9 lot position for the playoffs. I think the Kings, you know, I don't know if they'll take a step back or not. They could definitely be, you know, in contention for the play-in tournament. Watch out for the Spurs. It may not be this year, but with Wemby, Sochan, and then Harrison Barnes is a nice addition to their team so far. Wemby could definitely take this team to the next step, and they are. I think they could make the playoffs this year. And then you got trailing. You know, you got the Rockets, Blazers, and Jazz, who are all going to be in the Cooper Flag lottery.
So quick question before we move on from hoops. When is the in-season tournament? Because that was kind of fun last year. I think that worked better than a lot of people thought it might.
I mean, it was, but it wasn't instructive. The Lakers won, and you know, they flamed out in the playoffs.
Fair.
First round in the playoffs. It starts right early on. It starts early on. You'll remember from last year, the way it works is it's actually worked into some of the regularly scheduled games. They just change the court over and they make those games turn into tournament games that are also on the schedule. And then depending on how you do, then there are extra games if you advance beyond that. But it starts early on. I think the tournament schedule is out, but we'll cover that some more as we once we get into the tournament play in the season. But yeah, I agree. It's a fun little addition, gives other teams something to play for and guys some extra money to play for.
I think it's called the NBA Cup now, and I think it starts November 12th. At least those are the first games. But you're right. Yeah. I mean, it's just sort of sporadic throughout the season until they get to the I don't know, the medal round. I don't even know what you call it. So
all right. Yeah. So House, I've got the Thunder coming out of the West, and I would think the Thunder will probably lose to the Celtics as they go back to back. That'd be my prediction.
I'm with you, Pope. I actually am right there with you. I think the Thunder and Minnesota are going to be the ones. I like Minnesota a little bit more than you do. I'm going to say that there's going to be some kind of surprise. I think the Celtics are going to wipe the floor with Orlando, but I think Orlando is going to break through. And I think the Celtics return to the NBA Finals and beat the Thunder. And that's when I think the guard changes after that. I don't think the Thunder are that far away from winning a championship if they can keep this team together, but they're not quite there yet. And I do think the Celtics, unfortunately, are going to repeat.
All right. Nice job, guys. Good work. All right. Let's get away from basketball. Just a real quick World Series update. Boy, I mean, I have to say, the two endings we had this weekend, if you think about it, right? We had a Freddie Freeman grand slam walk-off to win game one, and then the Hail Mary in the Commanders game. I mean, those are two pretty wild ways for games to end. Dodgers up 2-0. The Yankees really didn't have anything in game two. I guess the question now is, I did hear that Aaron Judge is being tested for performance diminishing drugs. We'll have to wait and see how that comes out, because apparently he has completely forgotten how to hit. Although I'm going to go out on a limb and say Aaron Judge goes yard tonight.
Is what?
Oh, sounds like a bet.
He gets it back. There's
no way he continues on like this.
No way. And I will note that Juan Soto, the best hitter of his generation, is hitting 429 with a 1.413 OPS, on fire, only trailing Freddie Freeman. We've got 8 o'clock tonight, Walker Buehler versus some guy named Schmidt, who I don't even know who he is.
And Otani is playing.
Was that before or after? Or pray for rain.
Otani,
was that tomorrow?
Otani, yeah, I think that was pray for rain. Otani is playing tonight. He will be in his leadoff DH spot.
That's a pretty amazing.
See how he does. Just
go back to that moment though, when we were all texting as Freddie came up. You know, I'm like, well, this is like shades of Kirk Gibson. I mean, it was, here the guy comes up, you know, he's hobbled, and he's I didn't realize, obviously, the time at 8:37 p.m.
Is that true?
That's not true.
That's
what it was. That's happened at the same minute.
Yeah, 8:37 p.m. I mean, 36 years later. Basically into the almost exact same seat area in the bleachers. That was nuts. That was nuts.
The internet is bad for so many things, but there are some good things, like the Freddie Freeman home run to the Moneyball music is fantastic.
Yes.
And the Hail Mary to Celine Dion, Titanic, is also just spectacular. So,
which I had a good question posed to me as a famous podcaster for all of us. If you can compare, which home run is a bigger deal historically between the two? But I don't know if the word is historically, but which is just a bigger moment in World Series history?
You got to remember, with Gibson, he was facing Eckersley, who was like automatic, right? Eckersley was Mariano Rivera before there was Mariano Rivera.
So the A's were prohibitive favorites that series too, I think.
Yeah, that's
1988.
Right. That's right.
Yeah,
those are the Bash Brothers, and I mean, nobody saw the Dodgers winning that World Series. So I think Gibson really was. I mean, Freeman was a little beat up, but he played. Gibson was literally in the clubhouse, spikes off, and Lasorda was like, "Put your damn shoes on and get up here and hit." And that's got to be more dramatic. Although this was
well, fun. And Freddie had a triple earlier, so I mean, it's not like Freddie couldn't run.
And of course,
I just wish he had appreciated the moment and done his fist bumps as he's going around first base.
I do think we have to at least acknowledge that, man, Aaron Boone, I mean, that was a bonehead putting in Cortez.
Nestor was
weeks. Really terrible. Really terrible. So let's see what happens. I have a feeling this is getting to 2-2 and that Judge finds his stroke. So let's see what happens. Punchable faces. Don't call it a comeback. I got a punch, and this is going to be a first for the SMQBs, I promise you. I am punching myself.
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm punching myself because I have a very strict code that I live by in life. And that is to never blame the referees.
Oh, my God. This isn't really a punch.
I thought that was
I thought it was to never leave your seat
before the end of the game.
He's about to punch himself.
No, I'm not. I have opinions on referees, but I don't like blaming the referees. And I had a weak moment yesterday. I'm not gonna say my opinions on it. I've probably said that already, but I'm punching myself for losing my composure and going the route of house and blaming referees. You're better than that, Bison. And for that, you get a punch. All right.
By the way, he would be all over the refs if that Hail Mary hadn't happened on this show today.
Bison would be.
No.
Absolutely.
No, never. Yes. Go back and listen to all 186 prior episodes. I've never
played. But let's look at the text string if you want the proof.
Yeah.
That's why I'm punching myself. That was the
And I song. Want you to... I want you to slap yourself for leaving the game.
I didn't
right.
leave the game.
Yeah.
We were in the we
you
were
said
in the
you were
looking.
Yeah. You'd left your seat.
On but, that.
Oh, we were there. Don't worry. I didn't leave.
Uh-huh.
I stayed the whole fucking thing. It was those goddamn national games take forever to get through. All right. Pope, 9 o'clock. You got a punch too, right?
I have a punch, and I'll apologize to some of our listeners in advance and try not to make this political, but Nick Bosa last night at the end of the Cowboys game just made an ass out of himself. Regardless of what side you're on politically, it's really, you know, the country right now is pretty divided, and we just don't need this shit. Bosa came on while they're interviewing the three stars of the game, and he had a MAGA hat on. It was kind of hard to see. It was actually white with gold lettering. He showed, pointed to the hat and, you know, make America great again. And then he left pretty quickly. But that was uncalled for. And I don't know, he's going to get fined for that or the NFL is going to do anything. But, you know, you can't help but think somebody else for San Francisco, a quarterback who may have also displayed some emotion by kneeling. Colin Kaepernick has been ostracized and out of the game because of what he did. So, you know, Nick, you know better. You shouldn't do it. Keep your opinions to yourself on that, especially this time of the year. You're getting punched
in the head.
Fuck you, Bosa. All right. By the way, we should only punch him from the comfort of our offices where we conduct this by Zoom as opposed to in person.
I'm ready to meet him face to face.
Who's got a lasso?
Hold on, I'm not done. I got a punch.
Yes, let's go.
Hey,
unscripted
production meeting.
Hey. Yeah,
I am punching a former Florida Gator, Anthony Richardson.
Oh yeah, did you see
what happened yesterday?
Oh my god, he took himself out of the game.
He took himself out of the game. That. By the way, like, that's it. Like, I don't know how he plays another down. He took himself out of the game because he was like, what was his reasoning? Like,
he was tired.
He's like, I was tired. Like, that's it. Like, gone. Like,
tired game.
Hey, my name's, thank you for calling State Farm. I'm Anthony Richardson. I mean, this is, he's got
Anthony from State Farm.
This is Anthony from State Farm. I don't know how he's still on the team. And they're still like going with him.
All right. That's a definite punch. That's definitely a punch. All right. House, you got a lasso?
Barbecue sauce.
I have whatever short of a lasso. I think we called it like a Coach Nate, but it's I just thought the story yesterday. I don't know if you guys caught in the Eagles-Bengals game that they were actually identical twins playing against one another. Yeah. Chase and Sidney Brown. And Milk, do you know the last time identical twins played each other? It's only happened one other time? One of them belongs
twins.
To you.
The Barbers?
The Barbers.
Oh, wow.
Ronde and Tiki back in 2006. Yeah. I just think that's anytime right. you get the family on the field playing against one another, that's always a very cool moment. And that was yeah. that was a fun party yesterday. Not quite a lasso, but it's like a mini lasso.
I think it's a good one. I got a lasso too. And it's probably a mini lasso, and it's another homerism, but it actually goes the other way. And I actually was going to give this regard like it before kickoff. Caleb Williams played his high school football in the Washington D.C. area, and I thought it was pretty cool that the Commanders invited his high school football team on the field to hold the flag during the national anthem. So all the guys from Gonzaga High School were out in their football jerseys on the field for it as a welcome home to Caleb. And that's something that this franchise never would have been smart enough to do 2 years ago, but good for them for doing a classy thing and giving a hero's welcome to a hometown kid. So they get a lasso for that. It was pretty cool. Any other lassos? All right, we got some buzzer beaters, I think. Milk, you got one?
I do have one, actually. Have you guys seen the statue that was created for Dwayne Wade?
Oh, God, yes. That could be a pun.
Somebody put this on Twitter that it looked like a zombie. And if you look at it,
looks like Lawrence Fishburne eating a zombie.
It is full blown. And like he's an attack. I mean, do these athletes like approve this shit? Do they see it?
Clearly not.
I mean, it's like my kid would be frightened to see that thing.
The best is the memes where they take his face and put him on his uniform on some of his when he's playing.
it's just a scene out crazy. Of
that. What's that zombie show that used to be on?
It was he turned around and said, who is this guy? He said, who is that guy?
Worst statue of all time. Wade, Sean Taylor, or Ronaldo.
Christian Ronaldo. Ronaldo.
Ronaldo.
Yeah, Ronaldo was there too.
They're all up there for it. All right, who else has a lasso?
No, a buzzer.
Sorry, buzzer beater. Yeah, we've got a buzzer.
Well, we didn't do a college football this week, but there was one big game in College Station, and obviously my law partner, Larry Taylor, was a part of the 12th man, and a shout-out to the Aggies because they crushed LSU, and now they are in the driver's seat to go to the SEC championship game.
It's crazy.
It is crazy, and the Texas A&M-Texas game, which is coming up later in November, could be like the all-time most expensive ticket you'll ever see. Ohio State survived against Nebraska, and they're set up for a big top five matchup. First time in Happy Valley since 1999. Ohio State going to Penn State. Game day will be there. That's going to be a big game.
Yeah.
I think I'll just follow up on that on buzzers. I said last week my buzzer was that to stay up to watch that Boise State UNLV game because I think – that might have locked in. And I've looked ahead the Boise State schedule because I always talk for the little guys. I don't see anybody taking Boise State down for the rest of the season. I think they are beyond the driver's seat. I think they're close to locked in on that 12 seed. I think that's who's going to be your group of five school. And I also think, to Pope's point on Ohio State, Penn State, I think the winner of that game ends up being in the playoff, and I think the loser's out. I really do. I don't. Wow. I think there's going to be such a bias. I think there's going to be such a bias to the SEC and some other areas that I don't know that the Big Ten gets one or two lost team in there. So I think this is a huge, huge game. I think you pretty much get locked in, and you even could afford a loss after that. Neither team could afford a loss after that. I think Ohio State, Penn State winner is in the playoff. The other is likely on the outside looking in.
I mean, Ohio State is out for sure. That would give them two losses.
Yeah.
I like Penn State.
I mean, Ohio State's
shaky.
Yeah.
Penn State's playing.
Right, anything else, guys? All right, good show.
Good show. Go see you next week.
Eight deep. Four of them at the goal line. They bring three. Daniels backing up. He's just going to have to let one fly.
Goes to the right side. That's the way from the defender. Gives himself some time. Now steps up, fired, heads towards the end zone.
It is. Touchdown!
The SMQBs are Brian Bandwagon Pope, who hails from Dallas, Texas, and has never met a first-place team that he didn't have a personal connection to. Michael Rooster Phelan, hailing from Richmond, and who roots for teams from New York, or is it Boston? I can't remember which it was. One or the other. Also, Patrick Milk Michler from Tampa Bay, and he is still massively in love with Tom Brady and will never get over his man crush on the GOAT. Toby House Milrod, a long-suffering sports fan hailing from Philadelphia, whose Eagles team, they're still looking for another quarterback. And I am Chris Bison Nace, hailing from Washington, District of Champions. Thanks for listening.